You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So come to site now. You'll see some things there that we grade in the offseason. Still have the power rankings up, the grades from the 2019 NFL Draft. We'll start breaking down some teams as well, the depth charts and things that we've been talking about here, going in depth there. So check it out on SportingNews.com. Here on Locked On Fantasy Football, we continue our series looking at the early expert consensus draft rankings across positions. We've looked at quarterbacks and running backs on our previous shows. Now we'll dive into wide receivers, break those down for you, what it looks like after the draft now that you know what quarterback situations are there, what's the other receiver situation like, the complementary players there, the vacated target shares, how these guys compensate for that, and the potential production. So all that factors into how these guys are ranked overall by the industry experts as they pull it all together there at Fantasy Pros for our convenience. It gives you an idea right now in redraft leagues what we're looking at in standard redraft leagues at wide receiver and how they're ranked and how we think they might come off the board in August here as an early look-see in May. So let's dive right into it as we go into our third position here. We'll wrap up tomorrow, the week that is, with tight ends. Wide receivers at the top, but DeAndre Hopkins is the one that's cutting through everything to be the number one, and makes sense because he's been really the top producer, most consistent, has that steady floor, high ceiling every week, and he's gone ahead of Julio Jones, we know that. But now Antonio Brown, not there in the top tier. He's been in the conversation for that number one wide receiver overall. He's not in near that spot this year. So DeAndre Hopkins kind of alone in the standard league format just because he's so consistent. He's what Antonio Brown used to be. Now he's got the quarterback advantage as well with Deshaun Watson. So look at that. Will Fuller's healthy. Kiki Kuti is healthy. Hopkins is just a stud of a receiver. He's got it done with a whole bunch of random quarterbacks. Now he's got a very good one who's locked into him all over the field. So DeAndre Hopkins makes a lot of sense as the number one because there's little that can go wrong with his pick as your wide receiver one. He doesn't get hurt. He's out there all the time getting high volume, scoring when he needs to. If he doesn't score, he usually has a big yardage and catch day. So however you're looking at DeAndre Hopkins, a very strong number one here going into the season. Now, number two is interesting, Davante Adams. And part of this is his consistency as a touchdown beast for the Packers. And you look at the targets, Randall Cobb is now out the door with Jordy Nelson leaving previous year. So still have a whole bunch of young receivers. Geronimo Allison maybe can cut into targets, but still some flux at tight end between Jimmy Graham and rookie Jay Sternberger. So Davante Adams is a touchdown machine. He's not going to maybe light it up the way with the big plays, but all of a sudden you're going to look up. He has 10 catches for 80 or 90 yards and a score usually from Aaron Rodgers. And we expect a big year, a fully healthy year from Aaron Rodgers and him to produce at a high level with Matt LaFleur. You saw some of the signs there in LaFleur's offense there with the Corey Davis in Tennessee becoming a big factor. Well, Adams is a much better version of Corey Davis, and that translates well to wide receiver one production. And he's kind of been unheralded as a wide receiver one now. There's no doubt about it that he is that big-time guy because of the touchdowns. And because of the touchdowns, I think that's why Julio Jones is now third in this pecking order behind those two guys. And Odell Beckham Jr. is fourth right behind. So Jones and Beckham were competing with Antonio Brown. Now they have Hopkins and Adams. Jones really came on and scored a lot of touchdowns there at the end of last year after he ended the long drought he had getting in the end zone. He was a special receiver all along. Calvin Ridley coming in there as being a legit number two to draw some attention has certainly helped the production of Jones is a target for Matt Ryan. So number three for Jones, excellent spot for him with not much changing. And that's why you have Hopkins, Adams, and Jones. They have nothing changing there quarterback-wise, offense-wise, and that's why they're kind of looked at as a top three. While Odell Beckham Jr. drops to number four there, and Odell Beckham, scoring guy, but goes to a team where there's Jarvis Landry, so very similar with having Sterling Shepard on the other side, a tight end there. Goes from Evan Ingram to David Njoku, and he gets Baker Mayfield, so quarterback upgrade. I mean, early Eli Manning was clicking well with Beckham, but as Manning started to fade, Beckham has had some struggles getting open. Landry is a guy that's going to demand attention even more so than Shepard. He's got Baker Mayfield, so he's number four. I think there's this little bit unknown quantity versus where Hopkins and Adams or Jones are at. And that makes sense to put them right behind these guys. But Beckham's no slouch. That tells you right away the high value of the early QB1s is pretty darn good this year. And rounding out the tier one, according to Fantasy Pros, and how people have broken it down in terms of surefire picks in the top nine, is Michael Thomas. These are guys, all five, and somebody has them ranked them one. So there's some disparity there. But overall, the consistency lands all these people at the top of the top wide receiver ones. Michael Thomas, we know, has got some help there with Ted Ginn and Traquan Smith and Keith Kirkwood, and now Jared Cook maybe cutting a little bit into Michael Thomas. So maybe that's the bump that we look at to separate the other four guys from Thomas, but that's where he is at number five. As we look at the second tier here, Juju Smith-Schuster. This one is an interesting one because Smith-Schuster, as we begin tier two, we got Antonio Brown as number seven. Now, Juju Smith-Schuster does have something different. He is with Ben Roethlisberger, but now he's the number one guy. He's going to draw all the attention. He's also going to have to play outside a lot more with the now James Washington there as your next receiver up, and Dante Moncrief. So a lot of question marks there about Smith-Schuster and the attention you'll get in this offense. Maybe Vance McDonald at tight end can deflect some, but the volume, Smith-Schuster's production has been like a wide receiver one, so you're just bumping up into the middle range. The top half of wide receiver ones makes a lot of sense. And Antonio Brown going to a new situation. Derek Carr, obviously not the same trust quarterback, at least on the field, with Ben Roethlisberger, so you're worried there. You got Tyrell Williams. I don't think he's going to cut him too much. And not a guy that's going to necessarily draw the coverage away from Antonio Brown. So he's going to see plenty of coverage. New offense. Derek Carr in there. And I think that's where the bump down goes for Brown. That we weigh that Schuster and his situation, even with the double teams being the volume and the talent, staying in Pittsburgh is a little stronger than leaving Pittsburgh and going for Oakland. And Mike Evans, tough guy to rank, especially with Chris Godwin coming on strong there without DeSean Jackson, but still some vacated targets without Jackson. Didn't really go and get another receiver of note there. Lost Adam Humphries as well, so Humphries and Jackson out the door. So a few more targets bounce Evans' way. We know typically Bruce Arians offense, the tight end doesn't have a high volume, so more of a trickle-down where O.J. Howard maybe have less volume, bigger impact in those situations, given that he's also a very good blocker there, so they can rely on that. But Evans overall gets that bump into this tier two, which is really, to me, you look at it, one through eight is a big old tier one in that high-end wide receiver one range. So that's how you look at the top eight. We'll go round up here with the wide receiver one selection is. Next is A.J. Green at number nine. We're a little bit concerned only because the age and the injury, Tyler Boyd coming on strong as well. We're not sure about Andy Dalton. Is there going to be a quarterback change to Ryan Finley? How's Zach Taylor going to fit? I think Zach Taylor is going to try to get the most out of A.J. Green. We know that Zach Taylor was just in Los Angeles where he had three receivers, Goff and Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. So he's going to get A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd in the best positions to produce there, and Green still holding on as a wide receiver one. Now, T.Y. Hilton got some help as well there with Devin Funchess and Paris Campbell at wide receiver. When you look at that, the Colts are a little deeper, but Hilton's still the main man for Andrew Luck, so that makes a lot of sense to have him at number 10 as the go-to number one receiver for a high-volume top fantasy football quarterback there in Andrew Luck. Keenan Allen there is next 11. Again, he's the go-to guy for Phillip Rivers, the vacated targets of Tyrell Williams. Antonio Gates, those will be made up by Hunter Henry. They're being healthy, but they're going to have to use Allen a little bit more with Mike Williams, another guy that benefits there from the bump, and Henry still being there as a presence to deflect some coverage. So Allen at number 11 as Phillip Rivers' clear go-to guy out of the field makes a lot of sense. And number 12 is Amari Cooper. What a big move that was for Amari Cooper. He was fading in Oakland, not working out with Derek Carr anymore. All of a sudden, he gets dealt to the Cowboys, settles in, produces big time with Dak Prescott. The chemistry is off the board. Now they've had a full offseason to work together. That's only going to bump up. Cooper's talent clearly there, showed up last year on a more consistent basis when he was trusted and got those targets, and they made him the go-to guy. That was key. Got him involved consistently. Prescott treating him as that primary guy with Michael Gallup and others falling in line second. And keeping my Cole Beasley's out. So favor to Prescott gone. They put in Randall Cobb there. So he's still going to trust Cooper more going forward. And that's what you see. And that rounds out your wide receiver one kind of list. They're all clear number ones in their situation is what you feel. And that's exactly what you want out of your top wide receiver pick in fantasy football. Now, I know what you want in bed is a better performance, and so we got to talk a little bit about sex here. And yep, that's right, sex, good sex. Remember the days when you're always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, it's bluechew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Bluechew.com brings you the best chewable, the first one with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take Blue Chews any time, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. And this is for anyone who wants to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Keep that in mind. And with Blue Chew, it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Blue Chew is made in the USA, and since preparation and shipping is direct, Blue Chew is cheaper than a pharmacy. So all good news there, and there's even better news for you as a listener to Locked On Fantasy Football. Right now, there's a special deal. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment absolutely free when you use the special promo code Locked On. You just pay the $5 shipping there, and you get that first shipment completely free otherwise. So again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it now for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And thanks again for them sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here to look at the next wave of wide receivers in the expert consensus rankings, the wide receiver twos. All right, let's continue looking at the wide receiver twos. And it's interesting that the first is a split decision. And this is where we come up with it, is when we're not sure about who's the number one. Maybe we'll have some clarity. This one, we won't. I think they're co-number ones, both excellent choices as a high-end wide receiver two. Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Diggs frustrated his owners a little bit, as Thielen was the guy that got in and made the plays with Kirk Cousins, but then Diggs got into the action later. So Diggs is the big play guy, the touchdown guy. Thielen is the more consistent guy. We know that. We'd like to see both be a little bit more consistent, both get the touchdowns here to make us feel a little bit better. But that's why it's so tightly ranked. They're very similar in usage to Kirk Cousins. Really, the volume should be fine with the receivers behind them not really upgraded. Laquon Treadwell's still in the mix, not a guy that's going to cut into what they do. Thielen Diggs, second year of Cousins, should be productive. Now, there's another duo here in this tier three still, as we go through number 17 in that tier, searching for our high-end wide receiver two, Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods. Brandon Cooks is 15. Robert Woods is number 17. Coincidentally, Cooper Kupp is 18. So, again, splitting the difference here. These guys are pretty close. But the bottom line, we're just accepting the fact that because these guys can all interchangeably perform big, they're not wide receiver ones. They're not wide receiver threes. They fit just right in the wide receiver two heart of that spot. So it's hard to determine. Cooper Kupp is coming with the injury, so you have to put him third there. I think Woods is the most consistent guy with a pretty solid floor, while Cooks is the big upside guy. So weighing all that determines what kind of quarterback or wide receiver quarterback connection you want there in Los Angeles, Cooks, Woods, or Kupp with Jared Goff. You know, Kupp had that special chemistry gut, and he's the touchdown scorer a little bit more than Cooks or Woods. So it's all what you like. I mean, if you're looking for big plays and yards, you go to Cooks. If you're looking for that catch consistency in a PPR, you look for Robert Woods. If you're looking for the scoring, Cooper Kupp used a lot on short passes in the red zone by Jared Goff, and you look at him there. So very close splitting hairs there. And Kenny Golladay sneaks in there at number 16. He rounds out that tier 3 before we go. Tier 4, really, Kupp is in tier 4 versus Cooks and Woods. But you look at Golladay at number 16 here on the Fantasy Pros rankings. And now that tells you something, that people really have confidence as he's going to have a big season, given Marvin Jones is way down there as a wide receiver 3 borderline, maybe a bench guy, at number 32 in this rankings. People don't know exactly where to rank him, but people are just feeling it more with Golladay. Fits the profile as the number one receiver who produces big time in fantasy. Also going into a pivotal third year, there's no Golden Tate. You drop down to Danny Amendola. You have rookie tight end trying to cut into targets. It's T.J. Hockenson, but good overall things for Golladay being in that true form of a number one for the Lions. Now, if we jump into tier 4 behind this run here of Cooks at 15, Golladay at 16, Woods at 17, and Kupp at 18. You have Chris Godwin of the Buccaneers. So that's notable because you have Mike Evans as a strong wide receiver 1. Chris Godwin is a strong wide receiver 2. Simply put, there's vacated targets, as we mentioned, with Jackson and Humphreys, maybe a diminished role for O.J. Howard in the passing game. Cameron Brayton not used as much for Byron Leftwich. They've talked up Chris Godwin is a potential Larry Fitzgerald type role for the Cardinals. Maybe throwing it back to what the Cardinals had with Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin at one point. Steve Breston even getting a 1,000-yard season in there. So right now there's just two guys there, Evans and Godwin. It's going to be a high-volume downfield passing team. Godwin, everyone's expecting a big breakout. It's an aggressive ranking, but we kind of like it given the Bucs didn't really upgrade either at a receiving back in the draft, or think about that behind Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber. So some key chances there for Chris Godwin to put up some monstrous numbers there as a kind of a co-number one almost in reality with Mike Evans. Number 20 is Julian Edelman of the Patriots, and makes a lot of sense after his big postseason. Vacated targets of Chris Hogan, Cordarrelle Patterson limited there, but still of note. And of course, Robert Gronkowski. So things to pick up there. They got N'Keal Harry, a couple tight ends and free agents. But Edelman, you know, coming off a big-time game, still not showing any signs of decline, that he's the man. And that's a guy that we really feel good about, especially in PPR leagues. Putting money in the bank every week with Edelman in your lineup. Next one is Alshon Jeffrey of the Eagles at number 21. And this is a situation where it's more by committee, but we're not sure about the number 2 there in Philadelphia. DeSean Jackson looks like he might be it. He's well off the wide receiver 3 radar into that solid wide receiver 4 range, as someone you speculate on. But overall, I think you look at Alshon Jeffrey, if he can stay healthy, he's out there and doing things big time for Carson Wentz. And that's a big if. But Jeffrey getting a little older, we'll see if he can hold up here. But still a good option as your wide receiver 2. Now, Allen Robinson of the Bears, you look at him, not much changing there for the Bears. They did invest a little bit more in wide receiver there behind Taylor Gabriel and Anthony Miller, so we'll see how that goes. Allen Robinson was disappointing at times. We thought he was going to be rounding into that classic Jaguars production form, but that did not quite happen there for Robinson. So a little concerned there, and maybe spreading around too much in Chicago, where we really feel great about any receiver. Now, DJ Moore, the Panthers, is at number 23, still in this tier 4. DJ Moore looks like the default number 1, stretching the field, making big plays after the catch on shorter passes as well, filling in there for Devin Funchess, who is kind of fading anyway. Greg Olsen is around a tight end still, but not going to cut in too much there to what Moore wants to do. They only have Curtis Samuel there as another wide receiver that they could lean on a little bit. But overall, DJ Moore is the man, and I think even with Chris Hogan there, I think you're going to see a lot of things go through Moore, through Cam Newton there in Carolina. Tyler Lockett is the next one here, and Tyler Lockett coming off a nice season for the Seahawks there as really their top receiver, and maybe getting another bump with no Doug Baldwin possibly, maybe hanging it up with all the injuries he's had. Then all of a sudden your next option is a rookie. All of a sudden Lockett is consistently working all over the field, getting a little bit more action in the slot, and that's what you're seeing there in Seattle, maybe transition there. Transition certainly going on in Kansas City now. It's interesting who's not here that we've talked about that should be here, and you're surprised this is the first Chief we're talking about, not the one that you thought we might be talking about in Tyreek Hill. But how can you put Tyreek Hill? He's suspended indefinitely, looks very egregious, could be cut here. So who do you have there pretty high? Sammy Watkins. There you go. So Watkins, when you look at it, Chris Conley also departed there for the Chiefs, went to the Jaguars in free agency, didn't keep the second tight end, Demetrius Harris. We talked about this a little bit, that Watkins has to be leaned on here just by default for Patrick Mahomes to keep things up, with Hill being a question mark. I think the question is going to be, does Mecole Hardman, the rookie, get treated more there with Patrick Mahomes as the number one a la Tyreek Hill? Right now, we're not sure about Hardman. We know a lot more about Watkins, that he can be a wide receiver two in fantasy, wide receiver one in reality. And I think that's what you're seeing there with the aggressive look at Sammy Watkins. You have another number two receiver there at number 26, Calvin Ridley. Again, playing off Julio Jones, had those big games last year. A little bit of boom or bust because you don't need him all the time. But again, Ridley proved himself as a receiver's own right, first round pick. Going to do a lot more, obviously, in year two. Now we start getting into a few more wide receiver compliments there as we're in tier three. At 27 is Corey Davis of the Titans. We mentioned the influence of Matt LaFleur there. Now you have Adam Humphries and A.J. Brown, the rookie, to take some pressure off Davis in coverage and help Marcus Mariota get the ball more consistently to him. And that's really the biggest concern, is Mariota and that connection really working as it was, it should, with more help to draw some attention away. We go again with a second receiver from a team in Jarvis Landry. Yep, you like what Jarvis Landry can do, just do his thing, spraying the field around. I mean, kind of like with the Odell Beckham Jr., it's like having Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker, the best of these guys have flashed all in one package, producing at a very high level there. And Jarvis Landry, we've seen produce big time, and I think there'll be plenty to go around for him there after Odell Beckham Jr., the trickle down there. 29 is Robbie Anderson. Think that he might have some big things ahead with Sam Darnold's the quarterback. Now you have Quincy Enunwa back healthy. You have a legitimate slot receiver in Jameson Crowder. You've got a real-time tight end in Chris Herndon. So that all sets up Robbie Anderson to potentially be a big playmaker here for Sam Darnold coming in at 29. Again, some people have him slightly above as a wide receiver too. I think it's a bit aggressive given the Jets' nature of the passing attack, which a lot will also be funneled through new running back Le'Veon Bell. So all that considered, Anderson is probably right where he should be as all things are balanced. Now, Mike Williams, I'm really excited about Mike Williams, and I think to me he has more appeal than Corey Davis and Calvin Ridley. And I think Watkins, the only reason is he could be the number one for Patrick Mahomes. But you look at Mike Williams, great young receiver, made Tyrell Williams expendable, can go up the ball. We know he lit up Kansas City last year in prime time. He's really showing his talent. People were worried about, is he fast enough? Is he well-handed enough? But he's proved that now, and he's settled in there. Tyler Boyd, you also have to be excited about, again, in the parallel. Cincinnati getting Zach Taylor, who had the multiple receivers go off for the Rams. I think you look at Tyler Boyd, pretty good ranking for him as an aggressive wide receiver three. Really could be bumped up here. And I could see Tyler Boyd producing at the Jarvis Landry-like level for sure there for Cincinnati. Marvin Jones, we mentioned number 32 behind, well behind Kenny Galladay, who's elevated into now borderline wide receiver one status, high-end wide receiver two. So Marvin Jones, 32, so there's the separation there. Will Fuller getting in at 33 makes a lot of sense, makes big plays and touchdowns when he's out on the field and he's healthy. a guy that worth the risk there to take that high because of the reward being so great, and to make sure you're just on it where you're getting help. To round out tier five, we have three more, which basically makes up your wide receiver 1-2-3s. Dante Pettis is the first 49ers entry, and Cortland Sutton is the first Broncos entry. So interesting that it's not Marquise Goodwin and Emmanuel Sanders. Well, let's go upside. This is what we want in fantasy football. There are some other bodies there. Deshaun Hamilton for the Broncos with Pettis. It's Deebo Samuel there with the 49ers. So there's some other, but these are just younger receivers anyway. And Pettis showed a flash there that he's ready to break out as Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, as quarterback, we'll see how Cortland Sutton connects with Joe Flacco, but kind of a big target, stretches the field outside, kind of the guy that Joe Flacco connects with. If it's Drew Lock in there, I think that's also helpful for a rookie quarterback. So overall, Pettis and Sutton linked here as a similar type targets in similar offenses with some transition there for sure. And finally, Sterling Shepard, and this is pretty high for Sterling Shepard. He's not really seen this high, but we know when Odell Beckham Jr. is not there, Sterling Shepard tends to produce. He got a new big deal here. Notably, Golden Tate is number 38, so a couple spots behind, right outside the wide receiver three realm. Obviously, Tate could come to Shepard's play, but they wouldn't have given Shepard a big contract if they didn't think he was number one material. Tate actually allows Shepard to play a little bit outside of the number one type role a little bit more here, so Shepard and Tate and Evan Ingram are going to dominate targets, and that's why it's hard to differentiate Shepard and Tate, but Shepard gets the bump from the familiarity with the situation and the offense and having produced in New York before while going Tate, coming off his short rental period in Philadelphia. There, and before we take one more break and wrap up, we have to mention number 37. This is the tier six, and then now we're into the wide receiver for borderline players, Christian Kirk there. It's interesting he's ranked ahead of Larry Fitzgerald. I'm not sure I would put it that way. Now with the young quarterback leaning on the tight end, like security blanket, like wide receiver, and to me that's Larry Fitzgerald, not Christian Kirk, a guy that's going to have to carve out his own routes and produce. So a little bit surprising there. Notable that Fitzgerald is at 43. So again, when you have these two backs or two wide receivers so close together, it's an indication we don't know exactly where to rank them. And I would say Kirk's upside is there, but for now in 2019, if you're looking at Fitzgerald, is still the man to me, especially if, as the de facto tight end in terms of support for a rookie quarterback. Now, you can listen to all the great Locked On shows here wherever you're at just by putting us in your car, downloading us through the Himalaya platform. We highly recommend that. Get locked and loaded. Put it in your listening device, and you're good to go there. And it's so much easier when you got something good to listen to, insightful and entertaining, informative, especially about sports, your favorite sport, your favorite aspect of the sport, reality or fantasy. And we've got you covered here on Locked On Network. So it's easy to do with smart speakers. All you do is say, play Locked On Fantasy Football or your favorite show here on the network. And hopefully you got a lot of different shows that you're listening to, but convenient listening for you in that perfect range of commute to listen, make it a little brighter and a lot more informed. So thanks so much again. We appreciate you listening, and always feel free to give the show feedback on how we can bring better insight to you in the off season and regular season as well. We'll be right back here looking at how the bench wide receivers kind of start to look and if some should be in consideration for starting lineups here in 2019. All right, we got through about number 38 in the rankings there. We're into the tier six, so that means 38 if you do the math, 12 team leagues, three wide receiver starters. Now, so you're in the wide receiver four flex options as we go here, so these guys can still be very valuable to your team. Now you still have some leftover number ones here. Dede Westbrook at 39. Go-to guy there. You have Curtis Samuel as a number two and number 40 from the Panthers. Westbrook, I think, again, being the top target there for Nick Foles, I want to bump him up a little bit more. And while you have Samuel as a number two, really, when you have Christian McCaffrey and Greg Olsen behind what DJ Moore is doing, a little bit lower in the pecking order. Kiki Kuti is a number three there, clearly the number three, but a lot of question marks there. Robert Foster is interesting. People really liked how Robert Foster came on and made some big plays. I particularly like the guy. I don't know why they went out and got John Brown and Cole Beasley. I don't feel like Brown can really push Foster here. Zay Jones, I think, is a good player, but I think Foster is a little bit more complete. Receiver Shorty could be a little bit more than a deep threat. So at 42, that's a sleeper I'm circling. Again, I like to have guys that you know we're going to get the ball enough as a number one sometimes to complement the high-end wide receiver ones and twos that you've already gotten there, because they have some good upside, and Foster definitely showed that with Josh Allen and that big arm last year. We mentioned Larry Fitzgerald was 43. I might put him ahead of Christian Kirk. You have Anthony Miller, the Bears technical number two, ahead of Taylor Gabriel, even though Miller works slot a little bit more. Figures to be more valuable piece for Mitchell Trubisky. A bit aggressive. I kind of like it, but to me, I'd rather have something a little bit more comfortable. Comfortable is not number 45 there in Doug Baldwin. We know that he's coming off a hernia surgery there. He's got a lot of injury issues that may cause him to retire. So at this point, you're getting close to taking him off the board, and that's why you have the indication of 45. And there's a deviation between 12 in the rankings. That's not going to happen. And 81, closer to that probably this year. Again, John Brown listed there in Buffalo behind Robert Foster. He's at 46, Foster at 42, and I think that's correct here. I think you look at the next is Emmanuel Sanders in Denver and DeSean Jackson. We mentioned him at 47. Jackson's pretty aggressive. I think Sanders is too, as they're going to youth movement. There's no real history with Joe Flacco and Emmanuel Sanders. They could switch it up a little bit. So I don't see that Sanders as being a guy that I'm really targeting here. At 49, James Washington. No, I don't want any part of that because Steelers are in flux. I don't think Washington has the chops to be a guy that I'm going to trust there that much as a wide receiver too. At any point behind Juju Smith-Schuster, Kenny Stills a little bit underrated to me. He's the guy in Miami now. This, again, the first top receiver on the board in Miami. They've got a new quarterback there, two new quarterbacks, and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen. We know Ryan Fitzpatrick gets the ball to guys like Kenny Still pretty often, so that's a little low to me. Michael Gallup might be low as well. He could creep into the wide receiver three conversation. Again, some people have him way down. Some people have him right around that wide receiver three range. Michael Gallup of the Cowboys with his number two status to Amari Cooper. Not feeling 52 is Devin Funchess here. And I think we'll go down to about number 65 here to really get you a good look at where we're going. Maybe a little bit more than that. So almost into that wide receiver six territory, but definitely through the wide receiver fives. I just don't really have any interest in Funchess. Too many mouths to feed. I don't think the touchdowns are going to be there with Eric Ingram and Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle there pilfering them for the Colts. And you look overall, you have Geronimo Allison next. Some upside being a number two, possibly behind Davante Adams for Aaron Rodgers. Tyrell Williams, the number two behind Antonio Brown for the Raiders. So there's some possibilities there. Deshaun Hamilton, again, that's why I mentioned Emmanuel Sanders at 48 was aggressive. I really like the way Hamilton worked the slot last year, and Sanders could be still looking at a dwindling role there. 56, we're paying attention to because it's the Patriots, their second receiver on this list. Behind Julian Edelman, N'Keal Harry, the rookie from Arizona State. If he settles in a big role, obviously we're going to look and bump up N'Keal Harry. Just a wait-and-see approach with that. Marquez Valdes-Scantling in only a few spots behind Geronimo Allison, so we're trying to kind of feel this out to see how it's going to play at number 57. The two Packers, I'd say Allison is still the guy I'm trusting a little bit more. Paris Campbell, I think it's a bit aggressive at 58 to rank him this high. I get it. It's just Devin Funchess at 52, but again, they can use the tight ends to score a lot, to spread the ball to their backs. Hilton, not many touches. So I'm going to cool off on the Colts a little bit because it's a little bit committee-like, much like the Chiefs away from Tyreek Hill last year and T.Y. Hilton being in that big-time role. Marquise Goodwin there, San Francisco next. Just not a guy I trust healthy at 59. James Crowder working the slot for the Jets. We don't know if that's going to have a lot of value there with Sam Darnold throwing and have Anderson. Quincy Nuno is a big slot type guy. And Chris Herndon is that underneath circular blanket. And the dump off's going to Le'Veon Bell. We don't know how much Crowder is going to be involved there. So question mark there. Adam Humphries in the slot could have some a little bit value for the Titans, but better reality player than fantasy player this year. Dante Moncrief, no. Not buying it there with things in flux for the Steelers there with Antonio Brown gone. Mohamed Sanu, just a pedestrian guy that we look at as a slot option and possession guy behind Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley in Atlanta. You have Marquise Lee, Jacksonville. Again, Lee or Westbrook, one of them is going to retain some good value, working with a legitimate quarterback in Nick Foles. We got DK Metcalf here, the rookie from the Seahawks. Obviously, we'll get a bump if we know Doug Baldwin is out. So we look at that. Same thing with number 67 there, Mecole Hardman. The speedster, pretty much Tyreek Hill clone. If something's happening with Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs cut him, Hardman can seamlessly step into that role. And Hardman gets a big bump there among rookie wide receivers. And in the middle, Devontae Parker, we'll see if he can rebound with Kenny Stills, with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen, but still not feeling it too much in there with that combination in Miami. So there you go. Looking at the top seven tiers, 67 picks there in the Fantasy Pros Expert Consensus Wide Receiver Rankings in May. They're on their site. Check it out. You can check out the complete list there. But those are the guys that you're looking at as the core of your team, your starters, your top bench players at that position. A lot of that makes sense. A lot of the guys are too high. You're just shifting the guys in between. When you look at the outside there, there's not too many guys you want to bang the table for. A lot of rookies, a lot of unknowns. How are you settling in? Guys from bad offenses, maybe number twos and number threes. Number twos from bad offense, number threes from offenses we've yet to talk about in that sense. So that's what you're seeing here with this position. And that's how we look at it. And there's your complete look at the wide receiver early expert consensus rankings here in May, and giving you an idea of where we're at now so we know where it goes in August, and giving you our take on what the situations are lining up for these wide receivers in terms of targets and potential production. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time with a look at the tight end consensus rankings and a breakdown of them early for 2019.